I pray, dear Lord, that you would touch every heart. Move us forward, move us onward, move us upward, but by all means, move us. In Jesus' name, amen. I would invite you to take your Bible and turn with me to Numbers chapter 13, tucked away there in the Old Testament, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. We're going to Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13. The title of my message this morning is Expect Your Breakthrough. Numbers chapter 13, the context is the children of Israel are on the borders of the promised land. They're at the threshold of Canaan. They're at their crossroads. It's a critical juncture. And I don't know where you're at today, but I can guarantee you that God has positioned you right now for your next step. Everybody say, next step. Numbers 13, verse 17. Then Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said to them, and listen to the marching orders, listen to the instructions, listen to the directives. Go up this way into the south and go up to the mountains and see what the land is like. Assess the land. Whether the people who dwell in it are strong or weak, few or many. In other words, size up the enemy. Whether the land they dwell in is good or bad. Okay, they're scouting. They've got their mandate. They're on a mission. Whether the cities they inhabit are like camps or strongholds. They're assessing the challenges. Whether the land is rich or poor, whether there are forests there or not, be of good courage and bring some of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the season of the first ripe grapes. This was a season. This was the right season. This was God's perfect timing. I say this, God has you in a season. So they went up and spied out the land from the wilderness of Zin, as far as Rehob, near the entrance of Hamath. And they went up through the south and came to Hebron and Ahim and Shishai and Talmai, and descendants of Anak were there. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zon in Egypt. Then they came to the valley of Eshcol, and there cut down a branch with one cluster of grapes. They carried it between two of them on a pole. Now, my daughter had some grapes this morning. And we didn't have to carry them from the refrigerator with Caleb and I putting them on a pole, you know, bringing them over. No. They were just in a little cup. They also brought some of the pomegranates and figs. The place was called the Valley of Eshcol because of the cluster which the men of Israel cut down there. So I want you to notice what's going on. They're out scouting. They're out assessing because they have a mandate. They got to come back with a report. They got to come back with their take on what they saw. Their mission, their job description was go see what it's like out there. Go see what we're up against. Come back with your report. We just want you to witness to what you saw, what you heard. Come back with an accurate report according to what you saw. And so this was risky business. I mean, their life was on the line. They were risking their lives. I mean, the task was tall. And they were to go incognito. They were to seek to be unrecognized. And I don't know how that manifests itself, if they were always hiding behind a bush or if they kind of dressed up like the people there. I don't know, but all I know is they were to be very cautious, careful, prayerful, try to go in undetected. And so they were to survey the land. They were to take stock of what the land was like. And my, this was a fruitful land. This was beyond their wildest dreams or their wildest imaginations. I mean, this land was far better than what they anticipated. I mean, come on now. This land produce grapes. I mean, we're talking humongous. We're talking mega. We're talking large grapes. And you can only imagine what the other fruit was like. And so the Bible says here that they saw descendants of Anak. Well, these were giants. Everybody say giants in the land. Giants in the land. Ah, it was fruitful. It was fertile. It was just the right land. There were giants there, though. Can I say this? Listen carefully. Any forward progress is going to be opposed by the enemy. Anytime God wants you to do something, the enemy is going to present his giants, his intimidating fears, his paralyzing unbelief. And if we're not careful, we're going to miss out. We're going to miss our opportunities to seize upon and possess what God has promised. I'm going to agree. It's not enough to have promises. You've got to go into your promised land. And so the Bible says here, they returned from spying out the land. 40 days of this surveying the land. 40 days of scouting around. 40 days of just taking it all in. So they had plenty of time to think and assess. This was no rushed job. 40 days to really think through what they're seeing, size everything up. All right, so you got that snapshot. Now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran, Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Now I can guarantee you this. The level of suspense was so thick and so high, and the anticipation was at high pitch. I mean, the people, the congregation, the church in the wilderness were in full expectation and anticipation of their return and just waiting. Let me tell you, they were glued to their report. I mean, this was everything. They were delivered from slavery. They went through that Exodus. They were delivered after those 10 plagues. They were going around in the wilderness. They saw the manna. They ate the manna. They received miraculous water in the desert. They were provided for. And now everything was leading up to this moment. Everybody say, this moment. So here they were, perched on the threshold of a new experience, of a new life in a promised land. I'm here to tell you God wants to do a new thing in your life. I'm here to tell you that there is something higher and something better than what you're experiencing now. God never says stay where you're at. It's always forward. It's always moving forward in your relationship with Christ. I'm here to tell you that you can experience more than perhaps what you've ever experienced in the past. How many believe God wants you to know Him better than you ever have more joy than you ever have a peace that greater than what you've ever have? How many agree there's got to be a better promised land than where you're at right now? Oh, you say, but I'm walking with the Lord. Praise God. But He says, come up higher. Come up closer. Come up to higher ground. And so move in. Take what He's promised. Has God given you a lot of promises? Yes or no? I mean, come on. The Bible is a collection of promises. We are to live by promises. We have the promise of going to the promised land in heaven, but these promises will not be experienced by us unless we keep moving forward. And there's a lesson here. Take what is yours. Take what is yours. What does He promise? If He's given you a promissory note, we call that checks, right? You ever write out a check? You ever get a check? Let me tell you something. That check means nothing. It's just a piece of paper until you take it to the bank. But I want you to notice what happens when you get your paycheck. Do you look at your paycheck and say, I don't know, I'm not going to get excited until I see the money. No. Most likely, How many have worked at your job for at least a few months and have gotten a few paychecks? So you know your employer is good. You know when you get a paycheck, it's as good as cash in the hand. You already, let me tell you something. You already, once you get the paycheck, you're already thinking about how you're going to spend it or how it's already spent. My point is this, is you don't look at that and say, I'm a little suspicious. I'm a little hesitant. I've got my reservations. No, you've cashed those checks before. How many have cashed these checks of the Word of God? And how many know the Bank of Heaven has got plenty of money in there? Amen? And so they had experienced some of the promises. They had cashed in some of the promises already. The Bank of Heaven was full. All they had to do is take what God had promised. He had signed his name on it. He said, the land is yours. And so they had 40 days. They came back. They give the report. And as it turned out, there was a majority report and a minority report. And so it is today. There's the majority report and there's the minority report. And usually that's true in most churches, in most families. And look here. It says, then they told, verse 27, then they told him and said, we went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey. This is its fruit. I mean, can you imagine the absolute euphoria, the absolute jubilant spirit that must have pervaded the church in the wilderness when they saw these guys coming with this mega fruit and they had never seen anything like this. And these were the first fruits because it was the fruitful season. Now watch this, watch this. And so then they hear, this is a land flowing with milk and honey. But they had evidence that indeed what they were saying, listen to me, I'm going somewhere with this. They had evidence, everybody say evidence. They had fruit that what they saw was real. You know, when you give a report to those around you, they're looking at the fruit. How many agree? If we're following Jesus, we have some fruit. And by their fruits, you know whether they are or whether you and I are living by the promises of God. Would you agree? If you're walking in faith, you have a faith report, and that's a foretaste of going to the fruitful land. It's called heaven. And so the Bible makes it very clear here. They start out good. It starts out wonderful. Wow. Look at this fruit and it's a land flowing with milk and honey. Yes, we went and did what we were commissioned to do. We were faithful. And we want to tell you about that. Verse 28. Nevertheless. We're going downhill. Everybody say downhill. We're going downhill. Here it comes. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. Is that true? Yes or no? Oh, yes. The cities are fortified and very large. Is that true? Yes or no? Oh, yes. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. Is that true? Yes or no? So they are honest thus far in what they saw, sharing their report of what they saw, what they witnessed. And they said, the city is huge. The giants are huge. These people are strong. And the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and among the banks of the Jordan. Is this true? Yes or no? Yes. So they're telling the church, they're telling the congregation, they're telling the children of Israel, this is what we saw, and it's a formidable challenge, but watch this. They were telling it in such a way that they were dwelling upon the big challenge. They were telling it. Would you agree? You can tell things in such a way. Yes, it's accurate, but you've put it in such a negative light that you have exaggerated the situation or you have made it appear hopeless, impossible. Now, I want you to know. So this is true in our walk, in our life. How do you look at your job situation? How do you look at your finances? How do you look at your marriage or your parenting, your children, your health? How do you look at your life? You might say, well, this is going on, true. This is going on, true. Where are you going with that? Where are you going with that? You see, the devil likes to take the truth about the problems you're dealing with, but magnify them. You see that? Magnify them. That's how the devil operates. Say, well, aren't you going through this? Yes. Aren't you going through this? Yes. Isn't this the situation? Yes. Well, there, see? See what? The devil tries to make you and I feel like a failure. Like it's impossible for us to experience what God has promised. I'm here to tell you, you can have a joy unspeakable, full of glory, a peace that passes understanding. Don't let the devil talk you out of taking what is yours. And so verse 30 says, then Caleb quieted the people. Now this man of God was a man of faith, and I believe a man of prayer, and he thought different than the other 10 spies. There was just Caleb and Joshua that thought differently. They didn't see things the same way these other 10, but they were outnumbered. As is the case, generally speaking, invariably it seems that the negative group are bigger than the positive group. The doomsdayers are bigger than those that say, yes, we can. And so Caleb knew the thing to do right now is get them to be quiet. Stop. Cease. That's enough. Calm down. Be quiet. Caleb quieted the people. Listen to me. I don't know what giants you're facing, what big fortified walls you're up against. I don't know if you're at some impasse in your life. But I'm here to tell you, best thing you can do is say, Lord, help me to be quiet in my heart. Help me to calm down, because calm thinking is right thinking. Calm thinking is right thinking. And that's why the devil will try to fast forward your thoughts. Because the devil knows if he can speed up your thoughts, it's more difficult to have peace, joy, and feel close to God. Isn't it true that the devil tries to accelerate our negative thinking? Let me tell you something. Say no to the first doubt. Say no to the first thought of unbelief. Say no to especially speaking out any negativity. Let me tell you something. You can talk differently than your contrary feelings. We're so used to talking out how we feel. We feel great, we talk about it. We feel bad, negative, unbelief, or then we talk our unbelief. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once. Let's not hesitate. He who hesitates loses. One of the best things we can learn from this story is always seize the moment. Never hesitate. Never dilly-dally. Never delay. When God says something, move forward. Claim it. Believe it. Receive it. So Caleb is trying to quiet them down. And he's saying, come on, guys. We can do this. Let's go up at once. Let me tell you something. When God wants you to do something, timing is everything. Be careful of neglecting duties that you don't like, because they're a challenge, because they seem to tower above you. You know, we have a tendency as human beings to put off what is difficult and to do the easier part. But we need to travel the road less traveled. We need to go ahead and get out of the way that which is most difficult. Come on now, I have this tendency as well. You know, you make your to-do list. Somebody believe in to-do lists. If you don't, start. Because otherwise you have these things just swirling around in your head. How many like having your head dizzy? So get it down on paper, and many times my to-do list is longer than my arm. But anyway, you have your to-do list. But it's our tendency, humanly speaking, we just want to focus on the easier task and, oh, I don't really, oh, wow, that would be tough, and I don't feel like doing that. I say this, whatever the tough challenges are, go up at once, do what God told you to do, because His blessings and promises are conditional. And so I want you to notice here, He says, calm down. Calm thinking, right thinking. And He says there, let's go up at once. Now let me ask you this. Didn't Caleb see the giants? Didn't Caleb see the big walls? Didn't Caleb see the exact same thing as the others, but he saw it differently? He saw it in the framework. Everybody shout out framework. He saw it in the framework of God's given you the land. So whatever the problem or challenge or obstacles are, that land is yours no matter what. You know, when God gives you a dream, when God gives you a promise, when God gives you, this big dream, and you start thinking, yes, Lord, I would really like to do that. Yes, Lord. And you know He's put this in your heart, and it's just in your spirit, and you know it came from God. The devil will try to talk you out of it. The devil will try to say, that's impossible. The devil will try to have you to magnify the difficulties, and the devil will say in your face, and whisper it in your head, you're not going to experience your dream. Is there anyone besides me that has some dreams in your life? Do you have some dreams? Now, you've got to make sure that those dreams match up with what God's dream is. How many agree? Don't dream anything unless you go to the Lord and say, Lord, is this your dream for me? God says, I know the plans I have for you. The problem is that we want to plan out our life and map out our life and then say, God, could you please put your signature on here, please? And God says, no, I will make the plans. So how many young people say, well, you know, I think I'm going to do this with my life. I think I'm going to pursue this career. I think I'm going to do this. Have you talked to God and asked if that's God's will? Oh, I think I fell in love with this man, or I think I'm in love with this woman. Are you asking if that's what God wants you to do? I'm thinking I'm going to go ahead and apply for this job. I'm thinking of quitting my job. Have you asked God about that? Don't go ahead of the Lord, or He'll leave you to your own doings. Now thank God He's merciful. Doesn't mean He forsakes us. It just means there are consequences for not calling upon the Lord first. I say this. Save time. Ask God first. And so Caleb says, calm down, you guys. Let's go up at once. Verse 31. But the men who had gone up with him said, we're not able to do that. We're not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. What in the world are they talking about? So here they're poised on the greatest miracle, one of the greatest miracles. How many agree? God led them out of Egypt to lead them into the promised land. He led them to this point, and all of a sudden they're saying, we can't do that. How the devil tries to cause us to look at things in such a way to have us to question whether God is with us anymore, whether God has been leading us. Friends, we've come this far by faith. It is no time doubting. This is no time to be wavering. This is no time to be thinking, God, are you really with me? Now let me ask you this. Do you examine your heart? Do you say, Lord, show me if there's anything in me that is hindering what you want to do in my life? What am I doing that's holding back the blessings? You can't go forward while you're looking backwards. And so the 10 spies are like, it's over. It's hopeless. Let's go back. We're not going into the promised land. You notice how they go from, listen, be careful. They go from reluctance to rejection. Are you reluctant to trust Jesus? Be careful, that'll go to rejection of Jesus. Are you reluctant to do what God's called you to do? That could lead to rejection of doing what God wants you to do. If God says, here is my plan for you. Go into this promised experience. This is my will for you. This is my dream for you. And you waver? Your wavering can lead to outright rebellion against what God wants you to do. Be careful of reluctance. Be careful of delay. Because delay is deadly. When God says move, what do, everyone? We move. And so they're saying, we can't do it. Now look at verse 32. And they gave the children of Israel bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are of men of great stature. There we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak came from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. What are they doing? Now they're rehearsing. Now they're going back, rewind, play, and now they're rehearsing the problems, they're rehearsing the challenges, but notice now they made it bigger. Do you notice? They're repeating their bad report, but this time it's more exaggerated. You know, there's something I've noticed. Unfortunately, I've learned this from the hard way. Maybe I'm the only one, but have you ever had the experience of allowing some unbelief to come in, some darkness to come in, some negativity to come in, and then you start expressing that? Have you ever noticed you're never fully satisfied with expressing it? And then, do you know you come to believe your own words? Do you know that your own words influence not only those around you, they influence you, they come back to you? It's dangerous to talk unbelief. You want faith? Talk faith and you'll have more faith. How many would like mucho más, much more faith? Amen? And so, I want you to notice here, they're saying like, we're little grasshoppers. In other words, they're trying to say, don't listen to the good report. Don't listen to the good news. Don't listen to the promises. So what are you listening to? Show me the way you talk. Because would you agree there's a language? Every day, there's a language of the mind and a language of the mouth. There's a language, a language of our actions. Would you agree? Our life speaks. Unbelief or faith? Or kind of wavering between the two? Like Elijah said, how long are you going to waver between two opinions? If God is God, follow Him. If Baal is Baal, follow Him. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 31 in there, I believe it is. Or chapter 16, verse 31. So I want you to notice here. Watch this. What is going on in your mind this past week? If we could rewind and play, and it would only pick up words that you said, and we just rewind and play your conversation, and we were to sum it up, would it be talking courageously, talking faith, talking trust, talking yes we can? Or would it be yes but? Do you talk the promises at home? What do you talk about at home? Do you talk about Jesus? What kind of report are your children hearing in the tone of voice, facial expressions? How many agree communication is not just words? Matter of fact, they tell us that the majority of communication is nonverbal. So my question is, what kind of report are your children hearing? So what do you talk about at home? All right, let's go deeper. What are you thinking about? Would you agree it's a battle over the mind? They said, look at those giants. No, 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 there were giants in the heart. The greatest, most formidable, most over, towering giants. They're in the mind. How many agree? You get the victory in your heart. It, no matter what you see, we walk by faith and not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Hebrews 11 and verse 6. The just shall live by faith. And if any man draws back, I have no pleasure in him, the Bible says. Romans 1, verse 17. Habakkuk 2, verse 4. And Hebrews 10, verse 23 and onwards. So I'm asking you, what's the language of your mind? What's the language of your mind? Jesus, I know what I'm... You know these giants. You know these fears. You know these anxieties. Lord, I just want to praise You. Lord, I just want to praise You. I want you to take your Bible and turn with me to Habakkuk. Are you getting something today? Yes or no? I know you are, because Jesus is here. And if I feel His Spirit, which I do here today, then I know if you've got His Spirit, you're sensing the same thing that I am. How many agree God's here to speak to your heart? He knows what you're going to need this week. Amen. How many agree God doesn't waste His words? Habakkuk chapter 3. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17, 18, and 19. Oh yes, you need a breakthrough in your life. You got some giants, you need a breakthrough. You got those fortified walls, you need a breakthrough. Pray your way through it. Have faith, 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 faith. Move forward in faith. Talk faith. Think faith. Act in faith. And you'll get your breakthrough. Your breakthrough will happen. And you can claim that breakthrough right here, right now. Let's go up at once and possess what God has promised us. You want the peace? Take it right now in the name of Jesus. You want joy? Take it in the name of Jesus. Verse 17. Though the fig tree may not blossom, a negative, nor fruit beyond the vines, negative, though the labor of the olive may fail, negative, and the fields yield no fruit, food, negative, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, negative, and there be no herd in the stalls, negative, that's six negatives, yet I will rejoice in the Lord, I will joy in the God of my salvation, hallelujah. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and He will make me like walk on high hills. Do you want that experience? You say, well, I'm going through this negative thing, this negative thing. Have you noticed that many times there's not just one negative thing going on in our life? Right? How many agree? Life happens, right? The stuff happens. This life is unfair. There's nothing fair about this life. But I'm here to tell you that you can look at all those negatives and you can say, I praise You, Lord, anyway, that You're going to work all things together for good. You say, but these are a lot of negatives. I know, but Habakkuk says, I'm going to praise You anyway. How many agree? The problem is not negative things. The problem is being negative. You and I can talk faith no matter what. Several years back, I was reduced to 113 pounds. It looked like I would never preach again. At the time, I was working as an associate evangelist with Mark Finley, It Is Written, and I had to take a leave of absence for 6 months, a health medical leave. Completely broken down. Never gave up faith. But it looked like my wife crying, my parents crying, it looked absolutely hopeless. I know what it's like to have the giants in the mind. How many agree? The devil can try to turn off all the lights. But I got a scripture for you. I got a scripture for you. Look at Isaiah 50. The Lord just flashed this into my mind. Look at Isaiah 50. My wife's favorite book, Isaiah. Let's go to Isaiah 50. Isaiah 50. Oh, may Jesus cause you to reach out with the hand of faith and take hold of some promises right now. He knows what you need. Verse 10. Isaiah 50, verse 10. Who among you fears the Lord, who obeys the voice of His servant, who walks in darkness and has no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and rely upon His God. I'm here to tell you, when it's all dark, you can trust God in the night, because morning's coming. Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Psalms 30, verse 5. You can have your breakthrough, but perhaps your breakthrough will never come while you're talking negative in the dark. You got to learn to praise Him in the dark, and you'll praise Him in the light. My Bible tells me that we need to move forward when we feel like going backwards. We need to praise Him when we feel like complaining. Complaining is contagious, but so is faith contagious. How many agree? There's something attractive, something appealing. If your mind is at least half open, there's something appealing to hearing people talk in faith. Some people, no matter what you do, no matter how people treat them, they're always talking positive. They're always praising God no matter what. How many know there are some people, I pray that's you, that no matter what, you know, some people are just so resilient. Everybody say resilient. Water off the old duck's back. Well, I was down to 113 pounds. And I'm here to tell you, it looked like I would never preach again. Leading up to that, before I took that medical leave, for years, I had chronic fatigue. What did that feel and look like? I know what it's like. My wife is my witness. Where I felt, Lord, just help me to get by this 1 hour. And I would ransack the Scriptures. And I got by, and I got through that with the promises of God's Word. And my wife would pray and come to me with different promises in the Bible as well. Thank God if you have a loved one that loves to share something with you that the Lord gave them for you. What a wonderful thing. My time is waning. Listen to me. I was down to 113 pounds. And like I say, leading up to that, before I got down to the 113 pounds, I had this chronic fatigue. And I know what it's like to be at the table and barely be able to hold up my head. And I can remember just kind of going like this. I remember we were in Raleigh, North Carolina. I was having trouble even lifting up my head. And I'd say, honey, pray for me, because I'd have to preach that evening. Now, if you've done any public speaking, it takes a lot of energy. I love it. God has called me to do it. But I'm here to tell you, it takes a lot of energy. It's like each message, if I really put my heart and soul into it, is like a marathon. And I'd have to get up and preach. And I'd have no energy prior to it. But I would move forward in faith, claiming and clinging to the promises, saying, Lord, You promised to be my helper. Lord, You promised to give me the words. Lord, You promised. And when I get up to preach, my wife is a witness, year after year this happened. Not just this was several years this happened. I would get up and all of a sudden feel energized and feel God speak through me. Now He'll do the same for you. Sometimes you might say, Mark, I am so tired in my marriage. I am so tired with my situation with my children. I'm so tired with my work situation. Mark, I can barely get by. Mark, I'm depressed. Mark, it's just so dark. Praise Him. Praise Him. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. You know everything. Lord, I can remember being in Lodi. I'm closing. I can remember being in Lodi, California. We were doing a crusade for It Is Written. And I can remember walking underneath the umbrella. I'd have to get up and speak. And I had no energy, and I'm just pleading with God. And then I had an epiphany. And I just said, Lord, I understand that You understand what I don't understand. Say that with me. Lord, I understand that You understand what I don't understand. I'm here to tell you, don't try to understand everything. Just say, Father, You know what's best. I know You're going to get me through this. I'm expecting my breakthrough. Shall we pray? Oh, my Father in heaven, I thank You, dear Jesus, that we can expect our breakthrough. With every head bowed and eye closed, Jesus wants to give You that sweet victory today. Jesus wants You to claim what's Yours. Jesus wants You to move forward, not backwards. Give Him your heart. He loves you. Give Him your full heart right here, right now, with every head bowed and eye closed. Some of you, to have that breakthrough, you need to be baptized or rebaptized. With every head bowed and eye closed, I invite you to raise your hand if you want to say, Jesus, I think you may want me to be baptized. Raise your hand without any hesitation. Raise your hand. Say, I'm thinking I need to be baptized or rebaptized. Just raise your hand. I'll recognize your hand. Raise your hand. Don't hesitate. He who hesitates loses. If God is saying you need to be baptized soon, then raise your hand and you'll feel a peace come through in that decision. Yes, God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Any others feel you want to be baptized or rebaptized? Anybody else? Raise your hand in the name of Jesus. You want to be baptized or rebaptized? Yes, amen. With every head bowed and eye closed, I wonder, are there some that came in this morning and you love Jesus, but you just weren't fully surrendered, but you want to now? Raise your hand if that's you. Raise your hand. You want to say, Jesus, you know my struggle, but I'm just giving it all to you right here, right now. Yes, in the name of Jesus. With every head bowed and eye closed, whatever Jesus is telling you to do, do it in faith. Oh, my loving Father, help us to trust you. We expect our breakthrough and we claim it now. What things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, you shall have them. Thank you for the breakthroughs. In Jesus' name, amen.